to our lab the following fall. We did the study in the spring. We brought them back to the lab in the fall and gave them another assessment, but we also gave them a new data analysis problem. We gave them a data set and questions and said, do the analysis and explain why you did the analysis you did. Write it up. And then we took those performances from the student and gave them to statistics faculty who had nothing to do with the study or the design of the course, and just said, look at these stacks of work and show and sort it by students you think is like a Turing test. Which students get it, which students don't. And the faculty looking at some of the work that had been done by the accelerated students looked at that and said, oh, come on, Candace. This was not done by an introductory statistics student. I have graduate students that don't write like this. You know, what's going on? And it's like, well, actually, that, and it's not because I think that the OLI course itself in the accelerated mode brought the student to that level of expertise. But what it did do is it let that student learn all those foundational skills that we spend so much time in the classroom having them develop, so that when they spent that 1 hour a week with the faculty member, with the expert, they were able to engage in the discourse of statistics in a way that there isn't usually time in an introductory course. And I think it was the quality of that modeling and that discourse that actually allowed that extra level of learning to occur, which we don't have time for in our traditional classroom.
Can I make a comment about the issue of access that I think is worth consideration? We assume at this point that almost everyone does have access to bandwidth, and I'm not sure that's always the case, and one should pause, because the nature of the experience you have depends on whether or not you in fact have a high pipeline. It's particularly acute for tribal colleges and out in the remote Southwest, where you don't have what we here in the big cities close to an internet hub can have. I think that you have to ask, who are you designing the course for? The other question here that I had came in was talk a little bit about the whole team that's involved in designing these courses. But you have to remember what the audience is, and are you reaching the audience you intended to reach? So when somebody came telling me that the first MOOC, Sebastian Thrun, Peter Norvig, had reached 150,000 students. And I say, well, okay, who were those students? How many have completed? Well, 20,000 completed. Well, that's terrific. We dabble, and I probably learned something about there. Now, what about the demographics of those students? And I would harken back to my remark, I bet there were some Abe Lincolns in India and China who were among those 20,000. But since I come from California, the Central Valley populations, I wonder how many of the students in the Central Valley, how many Latinos from Central Valley were learning about artificial intelligence. And I suspect the number was fairly low. So you have to ask, what is your MOOC? If you're going to be trying to go to a mass audience, it involves a lot of effort to think it through. And you have to think carefully about the audience that you're trying to reach and what you're providing for them. And providing for a broad cross-section, doing high-quality work for a broad audience is capital-intensive, it's labor-intensive, it's thought-intensive, it's a big effort, and you hope that you're going to be reaching a large audience once you've done that. So that's a great challenge and cost. I guess according to our schedule, we're getting pretty close, so I don't know if we should take...
Could I ask one question? And, sure. And it doesn't require the detailed answer, but I was intrigued by your iron triangle. And on the cost side of things, I think we're kind of quick to assume that over time, what we're talking about should result in some reduction of the overall cost of providing education. But there's also an investment required. And I'm just curious about, you know, from your institution standpoint, was there a cost constraint in terms of investing in servers or cloud computing services, or, you know, with this amount of data collection, you're also going to have an associated IT cost.
Because we do so much online, yes, it's not cheap. People always say, oh, you guys must have such a great ROI. To do online education well and at scale, you have a great deal of investment. In fact, our CIO is part of our executive team. He's as much he's not just the IT guy. I mean, everything we do, he's more important than, say, a facilities person at a traditional university that's got to keep all the buildings going. But I think the affordances come after you have things at scale and you've got the systems in place.